Hello and welcome to another episode of We Have a Microphone, where I am glad to report that the microphone is still here.
It is.
It works. It is connected to the computer and it has its red light, which I assume means it's working. I'm joined as ever by my wonderful husband, Michael. And today we haven't had a special guest in a while. But we have Melissa Barnes.
Really special.
So special. You're so special that us bailing on your birthday party reminded us that
you're sort
of
making up for it.
Sort of.
With my personal cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to get so much social media from this. This is like probably the most popular podcast in the world. People don't know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
More than like my dad wrote a porno.
Yes.
Which is a great.
And, so yeah. Good.
Like,
try to top that.
What is this American life? Like, we just look at them. This actually, most of our money comes from our sponsors.
what kind of sponsors do you have?
Liquor.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
the liquor boys.
That makes sense.
Well, so one of the things why we replacing your birthday this is that Michael made a cocktail to name after you.
Yeah.
This was sort of by request, but thank you. it's meaningful nonetheless. I mean, I've seen your cocktails for so long for various, you know, award shows and TV happenings.
Multiple James Beard awards. Beards Awards.
Yeah.
James's Beard Awards. So right now...
So yeah, what are you making there?
So we've added in some Appleton spiced rum. 2 ounces of that.
And by spiced rum, he means the signature blend. Because
It doesn't count as a spice. It's just a Jamaican rum.
Just confirming. Yeah. It says signature blend rum.
I added 3/4 of an ounce of Lustau Amontillado Sherry. I love sherry. It smells so good.
That's good.
Underappreciated in the cocktail world.
Sherry's just basically like fancy wine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fortified. So it's like port is from Portugal, sherry is from Spain.
Yeah, sherry cocktails are great, and I think they don't get enough.
Yeah.
Add like a
most people don't know
flavor.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Bartenders kind of have to sneak in sherry a little bit. Like, people are like, oh, I don't know about it. Like, but if you have one with it, you're like, that's great. Like,
yeah.
It's always like a fan favorite, but people don't know to order.
Well, and you can just drink it on its own too.
Oh yeah,
it's like a nice little,
in the UK, it's very Christmassy.
What do you call an after dinner
cocktail?
Digestif.
Boy, Averna, absolutely meant to be drunk on its own.
Yep.
Right.
Like, which is I just added half an ounce of Averna. So this is an Italian digestif or aperitif. I don't know.
Does it say on the label if it's
Well, I think it just depends on, like, what kind of, like, does it have digestive, like, qualities to it?
Yeah, if you're some crazy person in 1820 where you're like, this'll be good for your health! Drink more!
Well, no, you know, like, those licorice-y kind of things are always...
like the shots,
Oh my gosh, like, what's the alcohol that's, it's like chartreuse almost looking...
I mean,
like
there
Midori?
Is chartreuse.
No, it's not.
But it's like chartreuse is a liquor.
Yeah.
You just named a liquor to describe another liquor.
Well, it tastes just like the one that is Zambuca, but it's like French or something. Anyway.
Zambuca? No, the one that makes you crazy.
Oh, absinthe.
Is that what you were talking about?
No, but it's just like that.
What? Okay, wait. It's chartreuse, but like kind of makes you crazy. But it's sort of
Pernod,
like...
Pernod
is an apple, right?
It is?
Isn't it?
Okay, I bought that to, like, make a, like, fancy meal once, and it just happened to be in my livery cabinet, and the guy I was dating wanted an after-dinner drink, and he poured himself some Pernod, and I was like, oh, it's, like, very licorice-y.
Yeah.
Which feels like more of a digestif than an aperitif, anyway. But what do I
smell?
As of which I think that Campari would be more of like an aperitif.
I'm realizing like this is normally why we cut this part out because the ice sound is intense. But so Melissa, this is your first time on the podcast.
Yes.
And as our longtime listeners know, we have a strict rule, we don't edit anything. And
so legit.
Yeah, I
too
mean
legit
what's editing? And so that sound of the crunching ice that went on
they
had to listen to it.
Sweet stirring action going on here.
Oh yeah, so Michael is using both hands to stir two giant.
There, what do you call that? It's like a beaker.
Yeah, beakers.
Is that a typical cocktail making vessel?
Depends
or
on the bar.
Or is this more of a, like...
Wait, I'm taking a picture for all of our podcast listeners.
Yeah, so in San Francisco, our favorite bar, Third Rail, and you should go if you're ever in San Francisco, they use beakers like this. And so, like, you can use cut glass ones, which look very fancy, but the amount we use them, it's like...
Which are like, the cut glass one, ironically, was from a... The one we have is from a bartender from Third Rail.
Yeah.
Our house here is really a branch of the bar Third Rail.
Yeah.
And sort of Death and Company. Because our main cocktail book is Death and Company.
Oh.
Which you can see, Melissa, it's leaning against our refrigerator.
Yeah.
It is out where you can grab it at any moment.
Well, and then there's that one where you had your birthday that year.
Dead Rabbit.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a cocktail book.
Well, that's near where I work now, actually, so you should
fancy.
Go there or something.
Wow. So many good bars in the city. Who knew Manhattan would have a couple good bars?
All right. Ooh. Oh, so that's how that thing works. I don't know why I never knew what that was for.
Melissa's confused about a Boston strainer.
So do you not use cocktail shakers, or you only use a shaker when something is shaken, not stirred?
So this is a stirred cocktail. So basically the rule is, if it's got citrus in it, you shake it. That's the rule.
Oh.
Yeah.
So,
no citrus?
Martini should be stirred.
Right, except for James Bond.
But he was wrong.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing for
He was like, wow.
I mean, you know, hey, on you with the bartender, you can ask for them to do whatever, but... Theoretically, there's
you
no.
know I hate stirred cocktails or shaken cocktails. If a bartender like makes a Manhattan and they shake it, I can't even make this.
And they should certainly not do that.
But I should have known to not order it too.
Yeah, usually that bar you're like,
if they ask you if you want a Manhattan shaken or stirred, you're like, actually, I'll just have a beer. Wow, this is so beautiful.
So this is served in a Nicanora.
Okay, so I'm getting a picture of this.
Oh, a Nicanora. That's the you know the names of the glasses. Do you have a glass for everything?
I have some pretty good tiki glasses as well.
I saw you.
Yeah.
You're like collecting them?
This is
this like a thing you want to collect?
The anti-version of Michael's normal photos.
I feel like I could definitely become a hoarder of tiki glassware.
Well, they're just so unique. There's so many to collect. Right. It's not like you've got like a champagne flute and you're done.
Mm. Okay, so we're all drinking.
So cheers. This is the Bonds.
Oh, so what inspired you to make this?
We did a slight variation on something that was in the Death and Company book.
Use some different rum and some different.
I requested rum for the record.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got.
No,
up. Yeah.
And so I went with a stirred cocktail and.
Burns hold here.
Oh, right, because I'm going to get it.
You're going to get it warm.
Oh my God.
She was holding around the liquid
out.
Itself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm worried about your
cocktail.
You animal. You're the least civilized person I know. And I'm the biggest asshole.
Whoa.
I'll just say, whoa.
I'm trying to make
I could see the future. I could see the future in 10 minutes. It's a lukewarm cocktail, which nobody wants a lukewarm cocktail.
This is great. Yeah, no, this is exactly what I like. It's
awesome.
Like,
actually, we bought these glasses at a very small shop called Crate and Barrel this last week.
Yeah. Very boutique.
Where we were both walking around, kind of looking at stuff, and then... another homosexual couple was next to us.
I know.
Also looking, and then a third homosexual couple.
It was
with
like,
a tiny dog.
We must be in the right area.
Looking right. And we're like, okay, we're.
We're holding.
This is. Yep, apparently.
So, how would you differentiate the Nora from like a coupe?
So I think what this glass lends is keeping it colder. So like,
oh, because you're not
you don't
surfacing
have to,
as much
what
surface area.
Or do you mean like?
Yeah.
I thought you were not smart.
And also, I think a coupe because of the wide surface area, you're going for like aroma a lot. And this cocktail doesn't have much of an aroma,
have like citrusy or like aromatics. Or
exactly.
Whatever.
So a smaller surface area for drinking is totally fine. And
so for people, Nicanora glass for those who aren't. It kind of looks a little bit like a wine glass.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got the sheer sides to it, and you typically use it for cocktails, not for wine.
Yeah.
And it is a complement. Generally, stirred cocktails are either in this or a martini glass, a coupe, properly. Well, a martini glass and a Cooper.
Yeah, I frown upon martini glasses in this day.
I think they're
so tacky. Yeah. Like, this, I love the Coupe, though. It's, like, very classy. And, like, with, like, champagne. I guess there's a more shallow one for champagne.
Yeah, I think the rationale for champagne... No, this is what you should use for champagne, theoretically.
Yeah.
This is the one. I don't know. Wow, it's all fashion. I took it out of our freezer because our freezer is nothing but healthy-ish frozen foods and chilled frozen glasses.
And I'm sure some interesting ice.
Yes, certainly we have some.
Obviously, some square, round, you know.
Yeah, we don't have enough round, actually. Mm. But we do have, like, punch ice in there. Like, just in case you ever needed a giant ice cube. Just, like, we have that.
Yeah, you put a bowl in there, basically, with some water.
Punch ice cubes. Yeah. You never know when the need arises. In case you had a really bad day, you just whip off a big ball of punch and just, you know, go to town.
Right.
So you know what I did the other day? The guy that I recently started dating, he has like this book of like scents that are all the scents that go into wine. I guess there's like a universal scent. Like
dictionary?
Well, but they're vials that have like the scents in them. So it's like violet, like pepper, raspberry,
and they
strawberry.
Just pour them into the wine?
No. Sorry. They're in the vial. The whole idea is that you're supposed to sniff them to study and like, you know, become familiar with them.
This guy
so
sounds
that
like a douchebag.
So when you're sipping wine, no, he's just like a nerd.
Yeah.
So when you're sipping wine, that you can like kind of like differentiate all the different scents.
So how do they?
It's really fun to play though, because like, do you know what raspberry actually smells like versus currant versus like cherry?
It feels like a Hell's Kitchen game where Gordon Ramsay's like shoving something in your mouth.
Totally.
I would. So
I mean, because I bet you think you probably have a pretty good like, you know, nose.
Yes. I mean.
But it might.
I think I do.
It might.
I don't think you do.
It might up you your cocktail game, is what I'm saying. I think there's like a name for this thing. I'll find it. It'll be, you know, because I think you're at the point in your relationship where you're probably like grasping for like gifts. So this would be a good one. It also.
Oh, yeah, my brother would love this. And he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
He's a wine douchebag.
For all the wine douches out there. This is like Father's Day is past, but like put it on your agenda for next year.
Y'all, I have a great idea. A wine douche.
Yeah. Don't they do that with vodka?
Yes!
But
wait, an actual douche?
Yeah, you know, you put it up there. Wherever.
Oh, that seems choice. Like that could be like
painful.
Yeah.
Painful.
And
yeah,
I feel like
you get drunk
really fast. Yeasty. Yeah, like actually doing the opposite probably would
be. Right.
You know there's no yeast. They'll die. Anyhow.
I don't think a bunch of dudes should be recommending douche ideas.
I mean, douche other areas.
Yeah.
Vaginal douching. Oh, I didn't know there were different kinds of douching.
Well,
yes, there most certainly are, as you asked the homosexual. Google it, audience.
I thought that gynecologists had said that douching for women is maybe not a good
it's
thing.
It's not a good
really?
Thing.
Oh,
for the
okay.
front,
there
for the
go.
Front hole.
For the front. For the front.
So, like, it gets rid of, like, bacteria.
Yeah, there's
I
a lot
it
of,
throws
like,
off the
yeah,
balance
totally
of
throws
it.
Off
see,
the balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But
can you get, like, a pH balance douche? Is that something that
maybe,
people are selling
maybe.
Now? That Roman is going to go into, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or Roman.
Well,
sorry,
no,
it's just
yeah,
Roman
I was
going to
say, there's got to be a different brand name for that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah.
And I think about all the coworkers we've recommended to listen to this.
I know.
And that just got real. That got real fast. Well, it's Pride Month, so Google and educate yourself.
Hey, it's good to be like you know, health positive about sex.
So I was
and sexual health.
Yeah, exactly. Fair. Nothing to be embarrassed about.
PSA.
Yeah.
I was walking down the street and I saw that there was like a New York thing where they have been putting on like bus signs and it's like famous gay people in history, like focusing on New York, but like they have like a bunch of people. And
was Marsha P. Johnson on there?
No, or I don't know. I didn't see one. Sorry, it was one at a time.
Who's Marsha P. Johnson?
Oh my gosh,
is amazing.
Oh my gosh, I just gotta pace myself.
Well, that was Shirley. I need to look up her name.
Sonia.
Sorry.
So they were a trans activist from Stonewall era. So, like, they were part of the Stonewall Riots and, like, did a
Sylvia
lot
Rivera.
Sylvia, not Sylvia.
Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, two of the great activists from that era. And
Who, Marsha was killed probably by a crime, but nobody investigated it. And just like really, really great people.
I think they're having a statue in the little park outside.
Because it was only like cis gay dudes who are middle class to upper class, which is basically.
Well, I feel like Pride Month this year. I mean, obviously, in New York is like the place of like it's national Pride, right?
World Pride.
50th anniversary of Stonewall.
And 50th anniversary of Stonewall. So it's like kind of like the epicenter of like everything happening. It feels like there's like a bigger. There's more happening. But then also, like, I kind of wonder, like, because it feels like there's more brands that are, like, hopping on it. I mean, obviously, like, I mean, the Gay Pride Parade, for the years that I can remember, it's just, like, one sponsorship after another.
How
do you guys feel about, I don't know, like, the co-opting of, like, the narrative? Yeah.
Well, wait.
Or, like Taylor Swift, for instance.
Oh, that's Stonewall.
Like, this is a good example.
Yeah, she's fine. She can do whatever.
Really?
I don't know, women have their own challenges. Like,
No, but she's making her new, like, album, her comeback, kind of, like, all about this, like, you know, like, pro, like, pride, gay, like, thing. It's, like, out of nowhere, you know? It's not, like, she's been, like, this kind of,
like
gay
Lady
icon.
Gaga.
Yeah, like Lady
Madonna.
Gaga. Or, exactly.
Sure. Yeah, as soon as it's okay.
It feels slightly disingenuous, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like,
But that's between her and her branding team, in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
but maybe they're missing the boat, is what I'm saying. So this guy that I work with, he's gay, and he's like, he's super awesome. Actually, you guys, on Saturday night, and I'll do a like plug for Judy. No, he runs this this amateur drag show that raises funds for like some LGBT organization once a month, and he's like this drag queen, and he like there's a theme every month, and like last month. It was international, and he did this, like, Italian thing, and he made this whole costume out of, like, pasta and all this stuff. And they create their own, like, numbers and all this stuff. Anyway, so he's awesome, and he's an activist.
Wait, where is it?
It's at Kinfolk. Kinfolk in Brooklyn.
Okay.
This Saturday, whatever, 10 o'clock.
Cool.
Bedtime.
Yeah, maybe this is not for the
middle-aged
gay dudes.
I think I'm gonna go this time. I really want to support him. But anyway, he's also like an activist. He's like very politically like involved and stuff.
So
and
he knows who Marsha P. Johnson is.
Probably, yeah. But he posted this meme on his social, and I'm sure he has like 1,000 followers or something about like the
the burn.
Wow.
The burn.
No.
Oh, I felt that.
No, I mean like.
All right, he posted
dude,
his Instagram.
Way
he's
more
got,
than
like,
me.
He's got like 1,000 followers or whatever.
I mean, maybe he has more. I should, like, look. But I'm saying he has, like, enough followers that, like, there are random people following him. And he posted this meme about, it was, like, two cats. And there was, like, one cat pushing the other cat's face in, like food. And it was, like, Taylor Swift, like, shoving, like, people's face in, like, you know, like gay rights and all that stuff. Anyway, he got hate from Taylor Swift followers about posting and really like below the belt like you know nasty
like,
stuff.
Well,
in
wait,
DMs.
When you mess with the beehive, also you get that.
Yeah. I know, but I would never. If I posted that, they wouldn't come after you. That's why I'm saying like he must have a sizable enough audience. It was when he found him, you know. But it was also like just like vulgar and like hateful. Anyway, so watch your step.
Do they have a name, like the Beehive? Are the Taylor Swift fans called something? Swifticles?
Swifties, I think
Swifties?
It is, yeah.
That's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Am I going to get a wave?
I don't know.
Oh, that means listeners.
Yeah,
that means
that's
listeners.
Let's cause controversy.
If you made it this deep into this episode, first of all, people out there, we're friends already.
You got
you
past
come hang out
wine
with
dishing.
You
got to.
I actually think this podcast part of it is almost like a weird test for would we be friends?
Because
if like you would just sit there and listen to this, which people do, we actually have like repeat listeners.
It's a miracle.
And we just like talk bullshit about whatever the fuck we want to talk about, and like hey friends.
Do you hear from people? Do people reach out?
We have a Twitter account at WhamShow. Swifties, send all your abuse there.
We're ready to spar with you.
Because we are Queen Bee all the way.
I don't know. Okay. Is there a rivalry? I thought there was like Katy Perry.
Well, not yet.
Oh, well, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift just made
up. But they kissed in like some music video or something.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's a music
video. I don't care about either one of them.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So co-opting of Pride. Yeah, well, first of all, trans people are who we should be focusing on.
Right.
And like that's the end of it.
I was super impressed, like seeing all the rainbow flags everywhere. I loved we went shopping and Converse had the trans flag outside. And I was like,
fuck the rainbow flag.
This is what we need to do. And Don Cheadle on SNL saying, you know, trans kids, like stop killing trans kids, basically, I think was on his shirt. Like that is what we need.
Yeah.
And if corporations are willing to stand up to that or like stand up for that, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm totally behind any corporate
because we're fine.
Yeah.
Us.
Yeah, we're white.
Well, we're fine. Yeah. We're good. Don't worry.
Waves of, you know,
no,
these movements.
But,
you know?
No.
The other thing, too, is like the surrogacy thing, too, now, you know, that's like in New York State, if you're like gay, lesbian, like whatever, you're anything, and you're trying, you want a surrogate to carry your child, like you're not protected legally. So people have had to do this in like Andy Cohen, you know, he's like pretty like outspoken. He had his child born via a surrogate in California to make it like legal, and then brought the kid back here.
It's complicated
because that's also
women's rights thing. Like rich guys like us who like it's a thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, like surrogates would have like Kim Kardashian has had lots of her kids via surrogate.
Like, okay, so let's say you're gonna be our surrogate. Congratulations, welcome. You sign some paperwork.
Yeah.
And then you become pregnant. And like paperwork. Good work. We've done our job. You have this baby that you've carried.
But that's like adoption, period. Like
no, but that's
what's the difference?
Afterwards you chose after.
Right.
Right? Like the mom doesn't sign up before she got pregnant to give the kid up for adoption.
I
guess. She has a choice at the end.
I see. You're talking about like the time period in which it becomes legal.
So what happens
legal.
Is if we were a surrogate and you got pregnant and then at the end you carry this baby for 9 months, you don't drink for 9 months.
Exactly. That would be wild.
But
you're
in the
also
end,
getting, you know.
You like look at this baby that from some type of surrogacy is half yours. And you're like, I don't want to let go of this baby. Like, I want to feed this baby. I want to, like, care for this baby. And, like, that's when, in the other room behind the door, are two rich, gay dudes who are like, I can't wait to have our baby! That's us. Like, so I can be that insulting about it. But, like, and they really want it. There's no villain in this situation. But there are no protections. The mom at that point can say, this is my baby. I don't want to give my baby to you.
Yeah.
And that could be emotionally scarring for the couple on the other side of the door.
Right.
And that could be on the legal side where you don't have the they say no, legally the police have to come and take the baby from you, is also scarring. There's no real winners in surrogacy if it doesn't go well. Nobody's a winner.
Yeah.
Nobody's happy about
Isn't there a book?
There should be like
right
an escape
now.
Hatch, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think you'd feel right, like, taking a baby that, like, forcefully away from a mother who did not want to give it away. But, you know, you also
what does it mean to be a mother, right? Like, so legally, like, is it genetically not your kid at all? Is this what is the sitch? And it's complicated.
It's true. It is very
And then if it's genetically not yours, I mean, this might be the case in New York, that even if it was totally not yours genetically. But then what does that even mean, right? Sorry. Even as I'm describing this, like, is a mother like, oh, I'm so glad that your DNA matches mine. Like, thank you.
Right.
Or
well,
like,
it can't
well,
just
not...
be a DNA thing.
Right. It's like an emotional and like, and your whole body's reacting in these ways and like you're having this, the most important moment of your life that I hope to never have.
Yeah.
I think you might be safe there.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing,
you.
Too, that's, like, precipitated by technology is, like the 23andMe thing, where, like, in theory, like, I could find out that, like, I have a completely different, like, daddy, and, like, what? I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I think you've had lots of daddies.
It's funny how daddy has become like a new like
oh, yeah.
thing.
So we do. You never play the game forever. Dad or daddy? Like whenever we see a
is he oh is he a
guy.
Dad or a daddy? Exactly. Wait, is that like a like what is it? What is this?
Dad.
Well, tell me what does that mean?
Dad or daddy? Like you see,
I want to make sure I know what
you see. Two guys walking down the street. I mean, obviously for us, it's two guys,
mm-hmm.
and then they're different in age or look different in age enough.
Okay.
You're like dad or daddy.
So
like
wait, who's one's a sugar daddy?
Are they dating? Or is
are
this
they
a genetic relationship?
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
the dating
dad
is the daddy.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be daughter, sorry, father-daughter or father-wife.
No.
Yeah.
Husband-wife.
Yeah.
No,
like, when you're in a restaurant, you see, like, an older guy with a really young woman, and you're like, is that his daughter?
Is that dad
yeah,
or
that's
daddy?
That's dad or daddy. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's a fun game to play if you're ever just at a restaurant.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyhow, trans voices matter. Oh, so, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia
Rivera.
Rivera, thank you. They were part of the Stonewall Riots. I'm going to tell the story right now. Our podcast audience, they love this stuff. So, they were part of the riots, part of the movement, right? That those first year and a half was really, that's what mattered. It wasn't a riot, it was what kind of happened right after. And it was chaos. But the trans, at the time they said, like, they didn't really have good words for this. It was like transvestite or like
right.
drag queen was also confused as a whole separate
mm-hmm.
thing. And like, they didn't really know what was going on. But like, Sylvia, a year after Stonewall Riots, there was a thing in Washington Square Park. It was Pride, actually. Sorry, it was the first Pride,
mm-hmm.
really. And all these people had shown up. And it was, the majority were wealthy-ish gay cis male couples who all of a sudden had an excuse to, not excuse, but like to be out, like to be like, oh, look, like this thing happened, we're changing things, we're
mm-hmm.
doing it. And like, you should watch YouTube for this video because she called out. Basically, it was the prostitutes, she said transvestites because that was,
mm-hmm.
what they said. Like, it was the street people who made this happen, and only 1 year later, rich dudes kind of just like swapped.
Right.
So when you're like, corporate America taking over, I'm like,
it's been happening
actually,
over and over.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
all the
yeah.
privileged guys whose life were fine. Like, you could live in the closet previous as a wealthy
right.
person pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, there were rules for how you did this. And, like,
I mean, Barry Diller still does it.
It's
so
true.
I'm gonna get
yeah.
the
if you
DBF
don't know
fans
who
coming after
yeah,
us.
If you don't know who he is, Google that.
The DBF.
That one like always like mystifies me. Like, I don't get it. Why? But
why
yeah,
him
it's like
or
storied.
Why they have a thing?
Why he's not out officially, and why they
on.
Have a thing?
Yeah.
John Travolta's
like,
but who cares? But he's the Scientology. That's why. Barry Diller,
yeah.
no reason why. Like,
well, maybe just like likes
what he
the...
thinks of a business. I would think it's more like what I think of as a businessman. So like a sort of who is the horrible guy in Angels in America?
Roy Cohn.
Sort of like, I have sex with men, but I'm not gay.
Right.
Mm.
Well, I do believe he and Diana Furstenberg seem
yeah.
like they're life partners.
They got a thing.
I mean,
yeah.
they're
yeah,
definitely
yeah,
like bonded. They're always together. They vacation
right.
together on their, you know, jets and yachts and whatnot.
You spend the whole time on the jet.
Yeah.
You're just like, what a great jet.
Just like suck
all
just
like
the
circle,
yeah, yeah.
circle around JFK. Hey, honey, we're really living the life. Not joining the Mile High Club because we don't actually have sex. But
I mean, it's kind of an ideal relationship.
I mean, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe
you can have the rim boys. She can have the rim boys.
Yeah, it's true.
You can share rim boys. It's great.
Would it be mom and mommy in that case, I guess?
Well, he's definitely like,
yeah.
and he's a daddy, and she's like a mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What you just said. I just had to think about
you
it for a second. Yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
But we can also think about there's great gay people in history like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ooh.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Wait. He was gay. I mean, I guess I don't know. I've never really like processed.
But he was the only, like, he
John
was
John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah. John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer are, like, the gay ones.
I guess in all of the talk about them, and even knowing who they like went after, I just never really thought about their like sexuality.
It was just like that they had sex with the dudes.
Well,
and
the,
killed them.
Yeah,
or the
sex
other
with
way
them
around.
After. Yeah.
Dahmer was murdered. But like, he was a mix. Like, he was a mixed bag.
Dahmer.
Yeah, I think both were a mixed bag. Because
Dahmer was the he.
Both were a mixed bag.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he didn't want to lose them.
No. But
it's
I,
so romantic.
I guess I was just focused on the killing part. I wasn't focused on who they were killing.
Yeah.
But
wow, you don't even see color.
No.
Wow.
Equal opportunity.
I was thinking about who they murdered, not like, you know,
this
like.
This is the
like
ultimate pride statement. It's like it could have been anybody, you know? It's like it's all good. They can kill whoever they want.
Yeah. Join the parade, serial killers.
I read a really good comic book called My Best Friend Dahmer or something.
Isn't that a movie, Michael?
It is also now a movie. With the guy from Sabrina.
Oh, wait, wasn't this controversial because he was so attractive? Or so? Wait, was it not Zac Efron?
No, that was Bundy, which we did watch, which was also good.
Wait, Zac Efron?
Played Ted Bundy.
Oh my god.
It was actually, he is more of an actor than I thought he would be.
I mean, didn't he just have to be like hot and like, you know?
No, he had to be kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Which, for a hot guy, it's kind of tough
sometimes.
Well, he had
to be hot before he was creepy.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy for him.
That was the key. Whoa!
Yeah. Hot take.
So, Dahmer is played by... Did you watch Sabrina? The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
You
on
mean
Netflix?
The new one?
Yeah.
With Kieran Shipka?
Yes.
No, I didn't watch
it. Oh.
Kieran Knightley.
No.
No, it's...
Whatever, all Kieran's are the same.
He is the hot boyfriend in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, then became...
Wow, that's like a 180.
Yeah.
Satan worshiper to murderer?
Well, no, I feel like Sabrina, at the end of the day, is like a teen...
No, you should watch
the
new one. What? I mean, it is at the end of the day. But it's more Satan worshiping.
There is a lot of Satan. A lot of Satan.
So then it's like very... He's like really on
niche.
Brand.
Yeah. Anyway.
Like, I have a lot to say about Satan, but that's a whole other
But I hear that Dahmer looked kind of like a Kennedy. So I've read a couple of blog posts about, like, gay guys in Minnesota or something. Like, going to these bars, and they were like, oh, there was this guy who looked like a Kennedy. He was so fucking hot. And I was kind of going to go home with him. Then I didn't. And then, like...
Because I got, like, the creepy vibe?
No. Nobody.
Just like,
I just thought he was hot.
Just didn't work out. Oh,
yeah.
but it was him.
Yeah.
Like, no, then, like, he rejected a lot of them.
Oh, he was
sort of, like,
selective.
There was,
So he's basically like every hot guy out there. He's like, you know what? You're not good enough for me to kill you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For real.
Wow.
Which I'm like, phew.
So what?
I'm
the
insane.
First time ever that it was great to be rejected. Like, thank you so much for thinking I'm not attractive enough.
Dodge that one. But yeah, so Dahmer was rejected,
but he was
very pretty.
So that's interesting that they were like gay serial killers. Like, we don't focus on that, but maybe that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, you start to get into like what are they actually fetishizing and like what does it mean to be a serial killer and like was it, you know, if all things had been equal, would have been a sexual preference and a like normal. Way or is this like a?
Do they even know?
Right, it's so complicated, right? Like,
and we've like studied their brains and like so many different things, right?
Well, they sliced them open, picked them up, their brains, and held them in their hands and squished them around and couldn't figure it out. So,
is that really the scientific?
It's the 1970s version of it. You're like, well, seems fine. It's very squishy over here. I'll write that down.
Something is definitely abnormal about this brain.
There haven't been like a lot of. Oh, no, there was the Toronto gay serial killer recently. They haven't figured out who it was yet. But from a bunch of bars in Toronto, like four guys have like just disappeared, straight out disappeared. So.
Are they sure it's like. Because they're not like hate targeted things. It's just.
What's your motivation, right? Like
proclivity.
Like if you hate yourself,
right?
Or
because
like,
you're gay.
But not. It's not like.
But today I'm like in Canada.
Boys don't
get over yourself, right?
here in Canada. You got it.
Today, yeah. Like
Trudeau is your president.
He's like the hottest.
You're like America at its finest right now.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, no, you're not allowed. Not that it's an excuse for anybody, but it's like, what are the things that cause people to break so severely from, like, norms?
Yeah.
Not even just norms, but to take pleasure in destroying them. The most sacred norm, like, there's another person and
living.
I see them, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's interesting. I can see how growing up in a very closeted environment, that could make that sort of thing worse.
Yeah, no, now I'm just like, sure. Worried. Do I need to hide the knives tonight when I go to sleep?
What do you always do?
From this guy.
Why do you do it?
I'm noticing the knife block over here. Right? So, in case I'm the witness, like, I'm blocking the apartment.
All police, please help me.
It's not that creepy.
But Hampton's an engineer, so he'll know how to like bury this.
He will do some gong girl shit. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I've been thinking about it.
He knows about the dark web.
That's so funny.
Is that funny? I don't know.
Yeah, because like...
You're like, that's just like the norm, guys.
Okay, so the dark web has two people on it. Or sorry, three people. Three types of people on the dark web. One actual like weird like killer drug people who like... Or actually like I have drugs. I have a pile of drugs in front of me and I want to sell them. They're on the dark web. Number two,
hackers.
There's police.
Okay.
No, hackers don't know.
They're not.
No.
They're where we are.
Yeah.
They're on the light web.
Dude, why the fuck would they go on there? They're like, oh, there are drunkies. And then number two, police. It's just like, police are just like, hey, I want to buy drugs from you. No problem. Send it to One Federal Plaza. Please sign this affidavit when you send it to me. And then three are journalists. Like, there's just journalists writing like into forums like, hey, how do I connect to the dark web. Where is the dark web? How do I dark web?
Yeah.
That's who's on the dark web. And like,
so the dark web like isn't a thing anymore, according to you.
I don't know if it was ever.
It's
a
never
thing.
A thing.
Oh,
it's not
okay.
A thing. Okay, it's tech people. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
It is not a thing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
It's not that dark.
It's not that dark.
Oh, so I guess there's a fourth group, which is the people who the technology that they originally built that enable this, they think is still a great idea.
Yeah.
So there's like weird idealists who are like, no, did you know that the decentralized internet is great for everybody?
Like the show,
Mr. Robot.
No. The other show.
Doctor Who.
No.
The other one, Black Mirror.
This old house.
No. Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to create the decentralized, like,
internet,
yeah,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like,
That's a huge part of that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the governments don't control this. It's great. Freedom of information.
That show, oh my god.
Mm.
Like,
it is very good.
I just, it taps into all the insights that I...
From your time working together.
Maybe not entirely, but I'm like, I get it. I get it, guys.
It's the only thing HBO has right now. Like, Veep ended. Game of Thrones ended.
Well, no, but the thing is, the other creators from it are working on other things, so it's been, like, delayed. And there's only one other season left. I know. Sad.
Really?
Sad times.
Wait, so Mike Judge?
Sad times at HBO.
Yeah. Mike Judge?
No, I think the other co-creator is behind Barry.
Oh, okay. I love Barry. Barry is very good.
Okay. Who is your favorite serial killer?
I have another topic, too. It's, like, Pride related.
Oh, I was trying to...
Okay.
After we discuss this. This is, like, topical.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, wait, go for it. Just go for it.
Oh.
Yeah, go for your topic.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Our audience is used to us not editing. Like...
Well, so I listened to... As many people probably do, I'm so, like, you know, basic here. But I listen to The Daily now. It's one of the only podcasts I listen to.
Is that The Skim?
What is The Daily?
The New York Times.
Oh.
No, fuck The Skim. I think that's... bullshit.
Oh, I have so
like
many
women's
of the New York
dumb
right now,
stupid
but...
thing. Okay, fine. But
of hot takes.
The Daily is kind of like its own separate entity, but it like borrows from like the New York Times reporters and stuff. But there was a really interesting podcast about PrEP and about about how, like, basically the pharmaceutical company that owns it, well, basically the U.S. government decided to fund, like, this whole study to basically figure out, they decided to do the study around whether, not about, like,
Truvada.
No. But they started out as, like, we're going to try to, like, cure AIDS. And then they were like, no, we're going to try to figure out how to, like, prevent AIDS. Mm-hmm. And they decided to put all their funding money behind, Truvada, PrEP, whatever. And the reason why they did that is because they knew that the patent was going to wear out within enough time after they had done the study so that it would become available basically to everybody as a generic drug. And then what happened is, like, Gilead, the drug company that owns it, basically was like, oh, like, major luck. No, we've switched it up. Whatever they had done, that the patent basically has extended. So now it's, like, super expensive, and it's, like, they've proven that it actually, like, is super effective at, like, preventing HIV, but it's, like, not accessible to the majority of people that need it. And so the guy who was actually one of the main researchers behind it was like, fuck, like, I'm, like, so devastated that this happened. Like, this is not cool. And so he's, like, more actively involved now in, like, trying to, like, figure it out. But anyway, it's like a thing now. Because now, obviously, they're doing... What are you looking at, Michael?
I don't know. But, sorry, this is super interesting to me. I'm, like, biochemistry major. And I... Like, we're both on PrEP. Like, we think it's a great choice. And you should... If you are... even remotely at risk from HIV, it's the only, like...
So the thing is that...
That's what I was looking at. I was like, are we going to say that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I mean, I'm not shy about it, but...
No, but this is, that's like, it should be available.
But the thing is that it costs them, like, nothing to manufacture this drug. And basically, if this U.S. clinical... The government paid for a trial that proved that it actually prevents HIV... And now they're basically cashing in on it. And I guess, like, the cost is, like... They're increasing the cost of it year over year, too. And so it's basically, at what point does the government kind of, like, step in? It's like, this is not right. And what's really messed up about it is that I guess they're saying that the government has less, like, incentive to step in on this because it's not as much of, like, a quote-unquote health crisis... as it was in, like, the 80s.
Well, it's not. Okay, here's my hot take. I'm coming back.
But it's not for people who can afford it.
Right. No, it's not generally. So.
Yeah, this is...
I'm going to clear my voice here. I'll clear my voice here.
This is all that I learned, but I'm curious. Yeah.
Hello, audience who's still in to this conversation. So... PrEP is very effective. Truvada is the main thing of PrEP.
Truvada is the brand name.
Yeah,
it
the
is.
Brand
but
name.
PrEP is, means just
yeah.
any
pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Nailed it. So, today if you get HIV and you're roughly in the West, your average life expectancy is fine. You're... like maybe 3 years difference based off if you get like pneumonia late in life sort of difference. Not a big difference. There's no, like, we actually have, and actually it's the same chemicals in Truvada, which is what's interesting, or the ones that you use to treat.
Well, that's how they came up with Truvada, because they were like, we're using this to treat HIV. Why don't we see if we can use that to prevent HIV?
And it does.
But that's what the clinical trial that the U.S. government funded was all about. And then this company, Gilead, was like, sweet! Now we're going to go profit off of all that funding that you just put towards that clinical trial.
At this point, getting HIV affects your long-term lifespan. In the West, that's important.
Yeah.
But
and if you're wealthy,
no, I mean, well, Medicare covers the whole thing.
No. But that's the point. Is that I think the statistics I heard was that 14% of those who could be exposed to HIV, you know, whatever they define that as, is 14%. It's like very small. Like you're not really like curing HIV with that. It's not like the measles shot that like everybody gets at birth, and it's like, you know, it's like a dollar, you know.
And it's so also like, something you have to like if,
actively
for
do.
Example, yeah, you're in rural Mississippi and you're not going to the doctor that regularly, you don't want to go for Medicare.
Yeah, there's
like
certain
that.
Stigmas
but
still,
yes, exactly.
and the cost thing is a big part of it.
Sure.
Because not all
but
people are on Medicaid.
All of this is just like, we don't have a comprehensive universal healthcare system. Like, it is
right.
a very
that
small...
That is a good, like, yeah,
no, but like,
for
but
that.
This is like fighting over or talking about like the most... herpes and all sorts of like or good pneumonias. I mean, still a great one. Like, we don't really have comprehensive control over these diseases because if you have a heart blockage, you're not guaranteed treatment. Like, the things that actually make a difference to our average lifespan and quality of life, which is also an important thing that people don't talk about enough. We talk about lifespan, not quality of life. But our system is so messed up around the whole thing. And, like, the least important one, like, if... Sorry, treatment of HIV, if you have it, and pre-having actual, like, AIDS, which are the later stage symptoms, is relatively cheap. But we should make it cheaper. Sorry, we should... Sorry, these companies need to fuck right off. That's not it.
Yeah, we have to fill
sorry,
so
they
much
need to, they need to fuck right off. But also, in order to get PrEP, we have to take every 3 months a full diagnostic. And so anybody who's at risk who says, like, hey, it's possible, has to go through extra things that go straight to the CDC so they can actually control an awful lot of disease, which is probably a good thing to do anyway.
Right.
It's the kind of thing you do if you had universal health care.
Right.
Because the
goal
is... Yeah, no, this is a good plug for that.
Pause you right here because... I do love universal healthcare, but there is still a fight in the UK to
have that be covered under
exactly.
it. What?
Yeah.
So you're like, you have universal healthcare, except...
So in the UK, it's like there is a balance. Part of universal healthcare, which I love, is deciding what the national benefit for a drug could be, right? Mm. Like, we could give everyone statins to prevent blood pressure or whatever, right? And like...
Aspirin.
Like, we could give everyone aspirin.
Vitamins.
What's the price of that? And
right.
it can be mathematical in a way, and I think that's way better than the US healthcare. Just want to make that clear. But
it should be mathematical.
It should be mathematical. And it's important to convey to these people in the UK, NICE is it's the National Institute for something. But it's called NICE, N-I-C-E. And they've been saying, I think they've been like pushing back on PrEP a little bit, like this thing. And I know it's been a problem in the UK as well, like getting this to people. And
well, I wonder if like the patent has expired in the UK, because I know that they had mentioned like in Australia it's like, you know, it's like dirt cheap because the patent has expired. And so it's also like this kind of fucked up thing, because if you were over there, you'd be fine. So I'm curious if that was the case. And the other thing that they pointed out in this whatever podcast I was listening to is how the government can also like twist the arm of pharmaceutical companies. So the government has the right at any point to basically like revoke a patent, so they can basically like bully the pharmaceutical company into, or like bargain with them to like, you know, give them a better deal to make it available to more people. So like when the whole anthrax thing happened, you know, like back in the day, Bayer, I guess, like owned the patent on Cipro, and the government was like, we want to buy a shit ton of it, and they were like, okay, well, here's your price. It was like $2.50 a, you know, pill or something like that, and the government was like, no, you don't understand. We're gonna remove your like patent if you don't give us these pills at a cheaper price. So.
Huh.
You know,
the anthrax every day is a thing we all deal with.
Obviously. We need that. We need that. That's like super... But that's the thing.
I haven't
like,
got anthrax yet. So, I mean, it works.
I may have used Cipro for other reasons, though. whatever you're supposed to answer.
See, I don't know what that is.
Cipro?
This is like prep. Straight people and gay people. I'm like,
oh, Cipro is used for like basically like Montezuma's revenge. Like you take it when you go abroad to do stuff. It's weird that like because anthrax is like is anthrax biological?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
A cow based.
That's why. That's why you do Cipro.
Bacterium?
Don't
yeah.
call me a cow.
It deals with bacteria. Yeah. There you go.
All right, well, that's how we're going to wrap up this episode. But who's your favorite serial killer? We're still back to that one.
Okay, I'm going to say Myra Hindley. Look it up if you don't know who that is. She was one of the Moors murderers in the UK.
How?
Hampton?
Carla Homolka and whoever her husband was. I don't remember his name, actually. But whatever. They were Canadian, and they were a weird couple who murdered people. So welcome to our home, Melissa.
Melissa, what's your favorite
you guys,
serial killer?
You guys, I might not make it out alive.
They're not so.
Would it be cliche to say Hannibal Lecter? I mean,
he's not real. So no.
That's not real.
No,
that's
no,
not
no,
real
no,
serial
killer. No, that's not cliche. He's not real.
That's a good one. Because he set the like bar so high.
Yeah,
we haven't had a good one in modern age.
I mean, BTK was just caught. I mean, my gosh, like, we're... The 70s were the heyday.
Yeah,
they were
the heyday,
like,
yeah.
The 70s were real fucked up.
Which you would think that we get better. I guess it's because of DNA that, like...
Yeah, we can catch up. It's like,
faster.
Oh, I murdered somebody. Oh,
we need someone without DNA.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like Hannibal Lecter, who's not a real person. You win! Melissa wins! All right, Melissa. Well,
this
thank you for
so
being
fun.
A guest on the We Have a Microphone show. And by the end of the episode, I'm so happy to say that the microphone is still here.
I still see a red light, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
it
good.
Hurt everybody's ears what I just did, I think. Or they couldn't hear it. I don't know, I tapped the microphone.
Or they're not
everybody.
Listening anymore.
Yeah, like,
they're probably not listening. But that's our marketing efforts.
Yeah.
Is if you make it to the end, you get to know the prize. It gets you $100,000. The password is sushi. So just email us the word sushi, we'll give you $100,000. Good night, everybody.
Is that legally binding?
It's not legally binding.
No.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not a lawyer, but.